Ancient Corinth was a lot like today's America, saturated with sex. The new church there faced some issues. In chapter 6 of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we find teaching on moral purity that was quite a rude awakening to new converts used to moral debauchery. Today, how the Holy Spirit draws the people of God away from sin and toward living a pure life. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue our series on what happens when the Spirit has His way. Dr. Lutzer comes now with a message on the gift of purity.
So how's your walk with God been this past week? Are you developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit? You know, when you read the New Testament, you come across phrases like this: the fellowship of the Spirit, the love of the Spirit. And during this period of time, I want all of us to renew our own confidence in the friendship with the Holy Spirit of God, this holy guest that lives in our hearts. Or could it be that I'm speaking to someone today, and probably more than one, someone who has grieved the Holy Spirit of God into silence? You and I can do that. This message is going to be very difficult for some people, really for all of us, no matter where we are in our spiritual walk with God, because I'm going to be speaking about the topic of unholy relationships, particularly unholy sexual relationships, and what it does to the Spirit within us, and why it is that the Spirit is there to help us so that we might walk in purity. What an agenda. Thank you so much for joining us as we have this message. I want you to be attentive. And even though we have prayed a number of times already, could we bow our head one more time and invite the help of the Holy Spirit? Would you do that, please? Father, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, might break down any resistance that people might have to what your word says. I pray today, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might do in our lives whatever he desires to do, to enter every closet, every relationship, and that you might grant us grace for forgiveness, for restoration, for hope, and for transformation. But we need your Spirit to do that, because all these are miracles. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, and you may turn to it if you would please, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, he was writing to a church that was in the middle of a culture that was sex-saturated. To Corinthianize was well known to speak about debauchery of every kind. Name it, and the Corinthians had it. They had homosexuality, they had sexual orgies, they had adultery, they had prostitution, hundreds of prostitutes. And of course, they also had child molestation, which always goes with a very immoral culture that has lost its way. Now, when the church was planted there, you can understand that the people who came and received the Lord in the midst of all of that, they were still struggling with these issues. And many of these kinds of people came into the church, and that was fine, but they needed some instruction from the Apostle Paul and from the Holy Spirit. And what the Corinthians did is what we do in our own minds. They justified it all. Did they know by their consciences that what they were doing was wrong? Yes, of course, but they always told themselves it was right. Just like some who are listening to this message who know that they are in a relationship that is wrong, but it is so carefully justified. And just when you think you have it totally justified in your mind, ooh, there it is again. So you have to go over it again and remind yourself on why it's right. The Corinthians did this too. And so they were ready for any change, that is to say, for any instruction, because in their minds, this all was the way it was supposed to be. So the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is answering some of their arguments and then giving overwhelmingly important arguments as to why these things ought not to be. For example, and I'm on page 955, if you're looking at a Bible that is there in the seat in front of you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, they said, I'm free. Paul said, yeah, okay, I understand, you're free, you can do whatever you like. But Paul says, not all things are helpful. He says, all things are lawful for me, that's perfectly fine, but I will not be enslaved by anything. The minute you say, oh, I'm free to be on drugs, I'm free to live however I want, I'm free to have illicit sexuality, yeah, that's right, but pretty soon you won't be free because you will be enslaved. Paul's words for addiction. That's where it leads. So then they also had another argument. They said, you know, the stomach is for food. We get hungry, therefore we eat. We have sexual desires, therefore we ought to have sex. And Paul says, well, quite not so fast. He says, verse 13, the food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy one and the other, both of them. The body, though, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Paul says, look, it is true that the body is going to be immortal. Food is going to be destroyed. Your stomach, your desires, your appetites will be no more, but your body is forever, and your body is not for immorality. It is for the Lord. In fact, he says that the Lord is going to raise up the body. And that's why immorality is certainly not something that you should engage in. All right, all that by way of intro. Now we get to the meat of what the Apostle Paul has to say. And he basically gives three reasons why sexual immorality should not be found in our lives. Unholy alliances, unholy relationships. Now, you know, in fact, in Corinthians, they were struggling with this. Chapter 5, Paul says, you have things going on in the church that not even the pagans approve of, that a man should have a sexual relationship with his father's wife. Paul says, now that's so bad, and that's happening in the church. And Paul, and it gives them instruction regarding discipline. But here now he's talking more personally about what happens when a Christian has an unholy sexual relationship. Three reasons. First, he says this, do you not know, I'm in verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Paul says, never, never. How can that be? Now, do you remember back to the sermon that I preached a couple of times ago on the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Some of you perhaps weren't here that Sunday. It was one when we had a little difficulty getting to church, but you ought to listen to it. What the baptism of the Holy Spirit does is, when we receive Christ as Savior, we get put into Christ so that we become members of Christ's body, of his flesh and of his bones. We become a part of him. Metaphysically and spiritually, we become one with Christ. Now think of the argument. Paul is saying, here's a Christian who's having a relationship with a prostitute. He says, you know what? Jesus Christ is greatly grieved for obvious reasons. Jesus is in that unholy bed too. He's there too. You're a member of Christ. Your body is a member of Christ. And now you're in an unholy relationship. Jesus has to put up with this. He's there too. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to explain even more. It's not just the grief of Jesus, but also he talks about the joining of two in that relationship. I've sometimes said that the next verse here in 1 Corinthians gives more information and more understanding regarding sexuality than thick textbooks that you can read in our schools or in our libraries. I stand astounded at the wisdom and the understanding of the Bible that can be found nowhere else, and how accurate it is. Notice what Paul says. He's going on now with the same argument, and I'm in verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. It takes my breath away. What the Apostle Paul is saying is this. Even in a relationship in which there's no love, there is simply mutual exploitation, which is what prostitution is. Even in a relationship like that, that is casual, with somebody you don't care about, you mutually exploit each other. Paul says, bang, there it is. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. As God says, I make you one flesh. I say, Paul, are you serious? Now, for us to understand that, we have to go back to the book of Genesis, don't we? God created man, and then he created woman from the man. You know the story. God took femininity and separated it from masculinity. And then he implanted in the hearts of the woman and the man desires that are strong, relentless, and compelling to come back together in the relationship. Maybe we could call it the urge to merge. And God implanted that within the human heart. And so what God said, sexuality was birthed in holiness. Well, my friend today, I hope that you listened carefully to the message that has just been preached. And I so hope that you tune in next time for a continuation of this message. I don't know of any sermon I've ever preached that has been so desperately needed by the young people of today, as well as the adults, to understand sexuality, to understand sexual bonding, and why it is that immorality not only destroys the body at times, but it actually destroys the soul. Thank God for his forgiveness. But we're talking about something here that is very serious, because the Holy Spirit of God indwells all believers. And as a result of that indwelling, the Bible says that we have to honor the Holy Spirit of God, and we have to be holy, and we have to glorify God in our body. And the context of that command is, of course, the whole issue of immorality. Would you help me get this message to others? At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how this entire message, in fact, the entire series, can be yours, so that you can replay it, share it with your friends, and let's get the word out there so that young people are warned and those who have already fallen into immorality might be given the hope of repentance and recovery in Jesus Christ. All thanks to the gift of the blessed Holy Spirit of God poured out upon us, thanks to Jesus. So glad that you have joined us. If you'd like to email us, our email address is media@moodychurch.org. media@moodychurch.org.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Gift of Purity, another message in his series on When the Spirit Has His Way, recapturing the wonder of God within us. Tomorrow, more on the one flesh relationship and why God wants believers to live pure lives. This 10-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When the Spirit Has His Way. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.